The Gospel according to John, the 19th chapter. Then Pilate handed him over to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews came to Pilate, said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let us pray. O Lord, we cannot imagine your love, but we thank you for drawing us to your cross. In your name we pray. Amen. On Calvary, they crucified my Jesus. They nailed him to the cruel tree, and the hammer rang through Jerusalem's streets. The hammer rang through Jerusalem's streets. Oh, I tremble. Yes, I tremble. It causes me to tremble when I think how Jesus died on the steeps of Calvary, how Jesus died for sinners like you and me. Those words are from James Weldon Johnson's The Crucifixion, and we'll be reading the entire poem for our Tenebrae in a few moments from now. We've read James Weldon Johnson in this church before, and you've heard me talk about him. He's one of America's great poets, an African-American poet, who because of race and the time in which he lived, was uniquely able to empathize with the cold, cruel, lawless killing of Jesus Christ. During Weldon Johnson's lifetime, he died in 1938. 4,743 persons were lynched in the United States. Of those, 3,446 were African American men and women. We can't be surprised that the poet felt so deeply the pain suffered by Jesus Christ at his crucifixion. This, of course, was not a lynching. The difference between a lynching and the killing of Jesus Christ is constituted by two factors chiefly. The first being the Roman Empire, and the second, Jesus himself. I call the crucifixion lawless, but that's simply untrue. His execution was a crime against the spirit, true enough, a hellish, hateful, sinful act, but it was anything but lawless. It's not a mob that drags Jesus to his death, but Roman soldiers. It's not a mob's passion that crucifies Jesus, passionate as the Jerusalem mob seems to have been, but the cold, clear, calculating eye of Roman law embodied in Pontius Pilate, procurator of Judea. Pilate, the gospel tells us, understands that Jesus is innocent of any wrongdoing, but within the context of Roman law, that is beside the point. The law is not about right or wrong, guilt or innocence. It is about keeping order through the exercise of power. It is capital punishment at its arbitrary worst. Perhaps Pilate's personal preference was to set Jesus free. No matter. The governor knows where his duty lies. And if Pilate had been hauled before the Nuremberg tribunal at the end of the Second World War, he would have protested like the other bureaucrats of state-enforced terror, "I was just following orders, just doing my duty." No lynching, this. Jesus was lawfully, though shamefully, executed. And there is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. To have a proper lynching, you have to have an impassioned mob and a terrified, defenseless victim. A victim is precisely what Jesus was not. "I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Can you imagine laying down your life on a Roman cross? Can you imagine that? "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord." Power is made perfect in weakness, Paul the Apostle wrote. And isn't the heart of the Good Friday message, which the world longs to hear, the message which we Christians too often seem unwilling to witness to, that Christ's act of submission is a perfect act of divine power? Despite the pain, the injustice, the weight of sin that crushes the life out of Jesus, God is in control, and there is nothing that Pilate or the mob or the powers and principalities of every time and place, those merchants of death, can do about it. Nothing. Oh, I tremble. Yes, I tremble. It causes me to tremble when I think of how Jesus died on the steeps of Calvary, how Jesus died for sinners like you and me. Oh, yes, we tremble. We are overwhelmed.